You're listening to Tassie Encounters Moments on Faith FM, and we're coming to you from Tasmania, right across Australia. Each weekday at 9 a.m, you can hear what the Bible says about past, current, and future events. You can learn how to study the Bible more effectively. You can get to know who God is, why we're here, and where we're going. And you can experience personal encounters with Jesus. I'm your host, Jason Cook, and this week we've had David Leo presenting on our topic for this week. On Tassie Encounters Moments is following Jesus through the sanctuary. But I promised we'd get someone in to give us a different perspective or some more thoughts on this topic, and I've asked Rick Hergenen. He's my boss, so yeah, he's come in to share his thoughts as well. So thanks for joining us, Rick.
Good morning, Jason. It's really good to be here this morning and to talk about a very interesting and unique sort of topic.
Yeah. I've been enjoying it, actually. David's done three series on different aspects of the sanctuary so far, so not sure what else he's got in mind to come, but we'll find out.
I'll listen on in anticipation.
Yeah, awesome. I want to remind you too, 0488 880 891 is our show number still on Tassie Encounters here. Even though these are shorter programs, our 15 minute programs that we're producing at the moment, you can still text us in, you can still claim the book offers, and if you've got any questions, we'd love to hear from you, and perhaps we can address those on air at some point. So yeah, we've got a book offer coming up too that we've been giving away this week, Living Kingdom, so stay tuned for the code for that a bit later. Hey, Rick, we've been talking about following Jesus through the sanctuary, and earlier in the week David talked about some childhood memories and about his home as well, and I shared something. You got any really fond childhood memories that you'd like to share with us about your home?
Yeah, I have good memories of my home. I have two parents who loved me and loved each other, and five sisters in my
childhood home.
No brothers.
Wow, so you're the only boy.
Yeah, only boy in the family, and I grew up on a farm, which I really enjoyed, and I still love farming kind of life, and perhaps one day I'll get back there. And I think that is partly a testimony to the home that I grew up in, where people it was a warm place to be. You know, my grandfather lived on the farm as well, and one of my uncles lived on the farm, and so we all had our separate houses, and we all engaged with each other in a very, like, it was a happy kind of environment to work in. My pop always had a big vegetable garden, which perhaps help spark my love for growing fruit and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And there was always, you know, food coming from the garden and things to prepare. And at this time of year, when people are harvesting, you know, the apricots and that kind of thing, making jam, it just reminds me of all those good memories of home on with my parents on the farm, and yeah, the good life that it was and still is.
Yeah. And it's a very lush area where you grew up around Bega, isn't it? It's very green, typically. I think I've been through there once or twice, but it always looked green for me.
It's not immune from droughts, but it does have, yeah, many good seasons. That's true.
Very good. Well, Rick, we've been looking at the sanctuary, and apart from sharing some memories of his childhood home, we looked at Jesus being the way, the truth, and the life, and found in John 14:6. And we walked through the sanctuary from the outer court through to the most holy place.
Sure.
And that sort of David was talking about this, both this time and space aspect of the fact that there's different places, and that's the different space, but also during time, you know, Christ has changed his roles, or the work that he's doing in that's symbolized in the sanctuary.
So, yes.
And I think finally we sort of finished off with this place where we looked at the future home that God's prepared for us. So yeah, what are some thoughts that you have when you've been listening to this? What's some thoughts that you want to bring out of this?
Yeah, I'm I guess the big thing for me as I look at the sanctuary is the idea that God comes down and dwells amongst his people.
Mm.
And particularly in the tabernacle, we see this first in the tabernacle in the desert. And you know, God has, through miraculous means, very miraculous, he has brought the people out of slavery in Egypt, his own people, and he's brought them out. They're in the desert at this time, and he's bringing them to a land that he has said, I've got a land for you. I want to take you there. You're my people.
Do you know, interestingly, I always thought that the main purpose of God bringing the people out of Egypt was to get to the promised land. But and I always wondered, well, did Moses lie to Pharaoh when he said, oh, we want to go into the desert to worship? And I never really connected it until we started talking about this subject again, because that was actually another thing that they were to do. God said, build me a sanctuary.
Yep.
And that was all part of the worship stuff. So he didn't lie to Pharaoh when he said, we want to go into the wilderness to worship.
And his wording in build me a sanctuary is, and his reason was, that I may dwell among them.
Exactly. Yeah.
He wanted to be with his people. And I think this only adds, the sanctuary only adds a great deal of depth to the picture that that is true, because we pick up right from the beginning of the Bible narrative.
Mm.
At the beginning of the story, in the Garden of Eden, there's a fall. Adam and Eve eat the fruit.
They feel naked and ashamed.
They go hide. What does God do?
He comes and finds them.
That's right. He doesn't send a lightning bolt from heaven to zap them up or finish them off. He goes down, like, personally, like he always has, to meet with them, and he wants to talk with them.
And, you know, even Cain and Abel. Here is Cain, who just killed his brother. God didn't, you know, send a lightning bolt to kill Cain. He came and spoke to him.
And sought him out. And I think this gives us insight into the type of God that the Bible reveals.
Mm.
It would be easy just to focus on little aspects of it. But if you stand back and look at the big picture, we find at Eden, God's coming down. At the sanctuary, in the tabernacle, God is coming down. We look at the life of Jesus this time of year when we're near the December 25.
Mm.
People are talking about, here's God coming down at great risk to himself.
To become human.
To become human. Like, how much more closer could God become? Mm. At a second coming, we see, you know, the Bible talking about Jesus coming again. He'll take us home to be with him. And we talk about, David talked about the new earth at the end as well.
Mm.
And so the tabernacle is a crucial part of telling this same story.
It's a story, yeah.
Yeah. I think as well as that, it illustrates very clearly that God always comes to humanity where they are.
Mm. Now, you were sharing with me earlier that in the Old Testament times, the language that was used, the laws that were put in place, was sort of similar in a way to common treaties and things that were around at the time, but also a little bit different.
Yeah, so when a more powerful nation, you know, took over a weaker nation, or they went to war and won one and the other lost, then they formed a treaty.
Mm.
And the language, some historians note that the language used in the Bible around the Ten Commandments and God speaking with Moses is the language of treaty.
Mm.
But this wasn't the kind of exactly the same kind of treaty that you would expect that the more powerful would have over the less powerful.
Mm.
There are aspects of this that whilst being treaty language, the kind of treaty is different.
Mm.
And here we have, God as part of this wanting to come and dwell
right in the middle of the camp.
Right in the middle of the camp.
So the sanctuary was built in the middle of the 12 tribes that were surrounding that, is that right?
That's correct.
Mm.
And, this isn't an example of, okay, now climb up this mountain, and then when you get to the top, then God will be there.
Mm.
The type of sacrifices that were used in the tabernacle, like sacrificing, like we might go today, oh, this whole idea of killing
an animal,
regularly killing animals, this is terrible, unhumane. And I see see the point that's being raised. But you need to remember that in that time, it was not uncommon to sacrifice humans, including babies, to the gods. So the kind of sacrifice, again, being talked about is different.
So it was similar but different.
Similar but different. The layout of the building, similar but different. And, you know, we could spend episode after episode talking about some of these similarities and differences. But here it is, the clear example. God is coming down. He comes to the people in language they understand, in symbols they understand, all to try and paint this picture to help them understand, hey, I'm coming, I want to have relationship with you. I don't want to leave you. I don't want to cast you aside. You're important to me. You're valuable. Let's relate to one another. Let's talk. Let's build a relationship.
Yeah. And David also mentioned that in the New Testament, the sanctuary or the temple becomes us. You know, our bodies are the temple of God, it says in the New Testament. And it reminds me of that verse again in Revelation where it says Jesus stands at the door and knocks. And once again, he is approaching us because he wants to dwell with us.
Yeah, and I just recall a famous photo painting, Jason, of Jesus at the door, and there's no handle on the outside of the door.
We have to open it.
Yeah, we have to open
it. He doesn't force his way in.
Correct.
He's not like the police force or the military who ram the door down.
Ram the door down. No ramming of the door down. No. And, yeah, this is a another powerful picture of God coming to, wants to dwell with us.
And I love that that passage that we read at the end of the previous episode where, you know, God is preparing that place for us where it's going to be, you know, a beautiful place where there's no sickness, no suffering, no sadness, no tears. You got something to finish there?
Yeah, and perhaps I'll read, it's Revelation chapter 21 and verse 3. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Now the dwelling of God is with men, and they will live with, and he will live with them forever. They will be his people. God himself will be with them, and he will be their God."
Absolutely.
Things will come back to the way God intended it to be in the beginning.
Yeah, awesome. Well, thank you, Rick. We've got a book offer called Living Kingdom. This will be the last episode that you can claim this book offer. And the code is TEM06. This is about Fresh Perspectives on the Parables of Jesus by Jared Stackelroth. So do text us in to claim that book, TEM06, on 0488880891. This is Carly Fletcher with Come Home. It's a beautiful song. May you encounter Jesus more and remember what he's got prepared for us. Thanks, Rick.
You come after the one who is lost. Go the 99 remain. And you search near and far over rugged terrain to find us, to find us and carry us home. In the wilderness, rough and thorny is the way, but your gentle sweet voice is still calling our name to find us, to find us and carry us home.
Child, I am searching for you. Come home, dear child, where are you? Come home, dear child, I am searching for you. Come home, dear child,
which was lost. He has found the one which was lost.
Come home, dear child, I am searching for you. Come home, dear child, where are you? Come home, dear child, I am searching for you.
This program has been made possible by the support of Adventist World Radio.